You may be seated. Thank you. Anybody freaked out, creeped out by a doll? Yeah. Yeah. This one will only move if I move it. I have a daughter who does not like dolls or puppets. Several years ago, this doll did not have any eyes. Its eyes. Now that's creepy. That would freak you out. This is Dolly's doll. Dolly is my wife. Growing up, I never really knew how you got your name. Really, I know your dad called you Doll, but I never. Well, everybody. She was known by her aunts and uncles as Dolly. Her mom and dad called her Dolly. Her nieces and nephews called her Aunt Dolly. She was just Dolly to everybody. Most all the time that I ever knew her, she had this doll. She got it for her 16th birthday. 9 days later was our first date, so it's pretty much been around us the whole time, staring. And about 8 to 10 years ago, this doll, as I said, didn't have any eyes in it. And so I snuck it out of the house one time when she wasn't looking or paying attention. It was set back in one of the bedrooms. And I took it to somebody who fixes. I had to look because I don't know, where do you find somebody who fixes doll eyes? I don't know. I tried it myself, and I didn't know what to do. So I took it to a professional. And I don't even remember if it was for anniversary or birthday or what it was. And I had it fixed. And this is where you go, oh, that was kind of nice, kind of, yeah. I'll come back to the doll in a minute. I knew a guy, knew him quite well. He was, like me, a minister. He was a good guy. One of the things you would not have known about him was that he had a little bit of an anger issue, but most people didn't know it. You know, most people went, I can't see that. I would never know that. Because around most people, he had a pretty long fuse. When he got on the golf course, sometimes that fuse got a little shorter because he'd get a little frustrated with himself and quite competitive, always thought, I can do most athletic things well. And like most people who get on the golf course and think, I can take that little ball and hit it into that hole in a fair amount of shots, and I can make it do what I want, and often that doesn't happen. And being on the golf course and seeing what was taking place was sometimes he would get upset, and that pitching wedge would end up over by a tree, or it would be on the other side of the green. There will be a few times when on the next hole or two holes later when the pitching wedge is needed and he can't find it and realized, I threw it off to the side or I threw it into that tree and didn't find it. There was one particular time where he got done playing and went home and then realized, where's my pitching wedge? It's not in the bag. And had to go back to the golf course, and somebody, fortunately, had come along behind him where he had let it lie after he threw it off to the side somewhere and had to, they brought it in and he found it. And thankfully, I got my pitching wedge back. You know, sometimes we get mad at ourselves, frustrated, and my way of dealing with anger sometimes was, I'm not the kind of guy, I had enough morals and scruples as I was not going to abuse my kids, and I was not going to beat up on my wife, and I didn't have a dog to kick. And so I found other outlets, and sometimes they were throwing things. Might be a club because I'm frustrated with myself. I remember a time when I was younger throwing a screwdriver working on my car, and it wasn't going like I liked, and so the screwdriver ended up on the other side of the yard next to the fence. And it took me a while to find it in all the leaves. But that was how I dealt with things. Back to the doll. Now, you kind of know where I'm going. I also thought that I could control my anger. And I had ways. I have little soft balls around. Not a softball. Those are hard. I don't know why they call it a softball. But I had other things that were maybe soft. And I'd get angry. Sometimes I'd just throw it. I'd throw it against a wall because, you know, I'm not going to break something that I like. So I'm not going to go just knock something over. And I'm not going to hit them and her and all of that. So I would just throw things. And then one day, there were several times where things ended up on the floor, and then I'd have to go pick them up. And one time I threw stuff, and this was in the bedroom, and this got knocked off. Oh, yeah, say that, ooh, yeah. And when I went to go pick it up later, I picked it up, and it had no eyes. So when I got this fixed, it was not so much to do something wonderful for my wife. It was more in a repentance mode of doing some things. But after so many years of looking at this thing in that room with no eyes, it was a reminder. Hey, Lenny, you got to get your anger under control. Now, I keep my clubs around me now. I don't throw them all over the place. I might drop them right where I'm at or something, but I don't go chase them, and I don't go throw them all across. I'm better at throwing some of those things, but I still have got a lot of things to learn. James, we're in this series in the book of James, and today, two verses. All we need is two verses, but these two verses are packed full. James 1, 19 and 20. The other day we were in Oklahoma City, excuse me, and went and saw my old preacher's wife, the guy who was a preacher from when I was born up until I went off to college. And they lived down the street from us all my growing up, about six blocks down the road, and Mom and her were really, really close friends, And ever so often, I still go by and try to see her. She turns 92 this summer. She walks 2 miles a day. She plays the piano every week, and she has a certain repertoire of songs that she plays each week, and then she pulls out another one. Said to keep my fingers nimble. She does crossword puzzles and different types of word puzzles to keep her mind sharp. And she memorizes scripture every week. She's got all the presidents memorized in the order in which she is. So if you say, who's number 23, she can tell you. She's right now in the process of memorizing the dates, the years that they were in office. And I have people tell me all the time, I can't memorize. Well, today, I want you to memorize something. I want you to memorize verse 19. It's simple. By the time we're done with this, you're going to have most of it already done. Some of you have maybe already memorized it. Let's read with me. Verse 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. James, in all of the things, you know, I think Shane mentioned in his sermon, one of the things about James, there's kind of like stuff like Proverbs, little bits of wisdom here and there, and he moves from one thing to another. And today, there's a bit of wisdom packed in these two verses. And when he says this, he says this idea of know this, understand this, pay attention to this. Listen up. And then he says these three little phrases. One phrase, three things. Everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. What I want to do this morning is I want to take all three of those, but I'm going to do them backwards. I'm going to start with the last one. I'm going to start with the one I started. This idea of being slow to anger. And along the way, I know what's going to happen just because I know people a little bit, and I know myself, and I know some of those around me, and I know the conversations I've had with some of you, is that we're going to be stepping on toes. we're going to be kicking a few shins. God's going to be working on some different aspects because this hits so many people. Anger. Everybody gets angry. We all get angry one time or another. Anger is a secondary emotion. We get angry because of something else underneath. Some of us get angry because we get hurt. Somebody says something that's hurtful to you. Somebody does something that's hurtful, and it makes you angry. Or they do it to somebody that you love, and it makes you angry. Some of us get angry because, kind of like in playing golf, you get frustrated. You get frustrated that you can't do something you think you should. You get frustrated that maybe you aren't farther down the road than what you thought you should be. You get frustrated because you're in the checkout line and it's going slower than you think it should, or the drive-thru line, or the traffic. A variety of things make us frustrated. Sometimes we get angry with unmet expectations. We expect something and it doesn't happen, and so we get angry. We expect life will be like this, or that he or she will be this, or that my kid will do this, or you just name it. We expect something and it doesn't happen, and we get angry with it. Anger, this secondary emotion that takes place, but it has a way of doing a lot of damage. When people get angry in a variety of ways, I'm just going to mention three of them. Some people are spewers. When they get angry, everybody kind of knows it when they get angry because they spew stuff. You get angry quick, they got that short fuse, and they say something, they do something, they throw something, whatever, and everybody's like, oh, ooh. Or the words come out, and they're aimed at you or whoever did something that hurt them or whatever the situation is. It can be just listening to the TV, and anger is just coming out of them because they just spew because they're got a short fuse. Then there are those that I call the stuffers. Stuffers kind of hold it in. Now, there are two types of people that hold it in. One of them is, and there are these people that some things can just, like a duck, it just, the water slides off the back. Some people will just let that go. That's not what these people are. Stuffers are people who, they don't let it go, it just goes inside and it stays there. And not everybody knows they're angry because they kind of keep it hidden for a while. If stuffers don't deal with it ever and it's turned inward, it becomes depression. But anger that's turned outward, it becomes bitterness and resentment. And you don't want to be around when it finally does come out. Because it comes out and it may be a very long profanity. It might be something that's holes in brick walls and somebody getting beaten up. And then there's the sulkers, I call them. They're more of the passive-aggressive angry people. They get hurt, they get angry, and they sort of pout with it. And people kind of know, oh, what's going on? Oh, you're a little angry. You know, and eventually they get what they want using their little pouty angry. You know. Spewers, stuffers, sulkers, none of them are really good ways to deal with anger. James says we all should be slow to be angry. Now, Paul, when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 26, he says this, in your anger, don't sin. Another version says, be angry and sin not. We all get angry at different things. Some of our anger is bad anger and some is actually good anger. There are some things we ought to be angry at. Injustices in our world. When one person does something that's cruel to somebody else, should that not make us angry? showed some of the things that some of the sin that just cripples us over and over again, should that not make us angry? Or crippling the life of someone you love. Maybe it's a child or a grandchild or a sibling or a coworker. There are some things in life that we ought to be angry about. I think James is dealing with the man's anger is this idea, and there is a bad anger. It's anger that isn't dealt with correctly, anger that's uncontrolled, anger that's spewed out on everybody else, especially the people that don't deserve it. And he says, in your anger, don't sin. There's a time where we can deal with our anger and it not be sin. The problem is the more angry we get, the more likely we are to sin. Proverbs 16:32 says this, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit is better than one who captures a city. I know us guys, we want to be the warrior kind of guy. We want to be able to go, hey, we can conquer that. We can take care of that. We can. Solomon in his wisdom says, one who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. If somebody who can rule themselves and their spirit and control that is better than one who can go in and conquer a city. We get it mixed up. We think that if we can conquer that city, we must be great. Ecclesiastes 7:9, we might think it's great, but Solomon in his wisdom there, when he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, says, don't be hasty in your spirit, one version says. Another one says, don't be eager in your heart to anger, for anger resides in the bosoms of fools. The person who gets angry all the time and has the problem with anger, Solomon says, actually are fools. We think we might be doing something about it, but all we're doing is, and this is where, why does all this matter? Because all we're doing is destroying and hurting and wounding others and ourselves in the matter. Verse 20, I think, answers this. Why does it matter that we're slow to anger? Why does it matter that we try to curb that a little bit? Verse 20 says this, for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. We call ourselves Christians, people who follow Jesus, Christ followers, which means we are to become more and more like him. We're told to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, not only knowing about him, but beginning to look like him. The Bible tells us that God is in the process of conforming us into the image of his Son. This series called James, what's it say up there? Becoming a perfect Christian. He's in the process of perfecting us. We call this sanctification or holiness. Why does it matter that we get a handle on this? Because this steers us away from becoming more like Jesus instead of to him. And so one reason, it does not produce in us the kind of righteous life that God desires. It also destroys and severs and wounds the relationships that we deem important. Many friendships have been broken up because one person got angry at the other one and they never dealt with it. I know siblings who don't talk to each other anymore and haven't for years and years. And sometimes they don't even remember how it even got started, but one got angry and now they never talk. There are a lot of ex-husbands and ex-wives because people didn't deal with their anger. Anger wounds and severs, and it hurts. That's why it's important. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 4:26 earlier. In your anger, don't sin, it said. The rest of the verse says, and don't give the devil a foothold. When we are not slow to anger, that's an area in our life where we have kept the door open to allow the devil to work in us and on us. It's as if he's just put his foot there, and we tried to shut it, but he got his foot there because he's got an area, there's an area in our life in which he kind of controls us at times, which allows him to control some other things. A little bit later in James, it's going to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we have the power to resist the devil. But the more we are not slow to anger, the more we jump at this, the harder it is to resist him. So it matters that we get a handle on this and that we do something about it. The second thing, being slow to anger, is slow to speak. Slow to speak. James chapter 3. Eventually, this is going to be a sermon all by itself talking about the mouth and the tongue. But James chapter 3 says this, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the body as well. Not perfect as in sinless, but perfect as we have talked about, becoming a perfect Christian and being a perfected, this idea of being complete and whole and mature. If somebody can control what they say it and when they say it, they'll go a long way to controlling the other aspects of their lives, he says. But unfortunately, verse 5 tells us that the tongue, though it's a small part of the body, it boasts of great things, and then it just uses the illustration of a forest fire. Oh, how we can set ablaze with the things that we say, with the words that come out of our mouth, because we are so quick to speak. You've heard the phrase, I think it's a rhetorical question, but it says, do you have something to say, or do you just have to say something? Some people just have to say something. They always got to say something. They always got to have to come back. We get in trouble so often because we are jumping with our mouths. We are quick to speak when we should have learned what we learned a long time ago from grandma or whoever it was that told us, hey, when you start to get angry, count to 10 before you say anything. A lot of wisdom there. And some of you will count to 10. You get angry and you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you speak. We are having a hard time because there's something inside of us that feels the need that everybody needs to know what we think about things. And so we will spill it out in the conversation. We'll spill it out on social media. We'll spill it out on something else. And often what we spill out is our anger. But it's not always our anger. But Solomon, in his wisdom, once again in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, says this, where there are many words, transgression abounds. Where there's a lot of words, somebody's going to mess up. It just happens. You been there? Where there are many words, transgression abounds. I'm about to say something profound. Yeah. You're like, no, he can't. Nothing can any good thing come out of an oaky? Yes, it can. Yeah. This profound is yet so simple. And you're going to go, duh, we know that. When you are talking, you're not listening. Most people think they can multitask in so many different ways, and we really can't, not as good as we think we can. But especially when we are talking, it is really hard to truly be listening to somebody else. This is why I don't allow, while I'm preaching, allow you to talk, because then you wouldn't be listening. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. We can sit there quietly and still not listen. But the likelihood of us listening if we're talking, and you know the formula, you've been there in the conversation. Okay, I'm going to call it a conversation, but it's not a, when one starts talking and the other one starts talking back, and then the other one talks back, and but the as you're going along, the volume gets louder, and the space between one person's comment and the other is getting shorter in between. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And the moment when we're not talking is not because we're listening, it's because we're formulating what we're going to say and whether or not we're going to wait until they said the last thing or we're going to jump in or not. That's what happens often because we often are not slow to speak. And I have no idea, no, I have a good idea that part of the problems we have with our anger stems from the fact that we're quick with what we say with our mouths. Two words. I got two words written here in my, right here in my notes, but I'm going to say the nice version first. What many of you need to do is learn to just be quiet. But I know some of you won't hear that. So you need to hear these two words. You just need to shut up. Yeah. Yeah. There have been many times where I think my wife has tried to inform me in the middle of the conversation. It's like, Lenny, it's time for you to shut up. Even though she may not say it quite like that. And once you get going, is it not harder to shut up at that point? Is it not harder to back off once you start? It is. That's why we must learn to be slow to speak. Slow to anger and slow to speak. But I think this third one, which is also the first one, I think if we learn to master that one, it helps us in all three. This idea of being quick to listen. We are often too quick to pass over this part. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because we resonate more with the slow to speak and slow to anger because that we understand it. And I think maybe because quick to listen is harder for us. It's a discipline. It's something that takes a lot of practice. And we don't know how to do it at times. I think James, when he's talking to being quick to listen, maybe part of it has this idea of listening to God, listening to the Word of God. The next section, you know, in next week's sermon, this idea of being a hearer of the Word, somebody who listens to the Word of God. He's going to say, don't be one who just listens to it but does it also. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's this idea of learning to listen to others and the people around you. And maybe it's just this idea of listening as opposed to speaking. We must be quick to listen. Instead of opening our mouths, let's just be quiet and listen to what the other person has to say. Ed Cole, in his book Maximize Manhood, we went through this, I think it was last year, has a chapter, I think it's called Stop, Look, and Listen. But in it, he talks about this idea of listening being the art of listening. Listening is an art. It is not something that comes naturally. It's something that we have to learn. It just doesn't happen easily. And there might be a few of you that are good at it and that were good at it naturally from the beginning. That's not most of us. Most of us, we have to practice it. And we have to try harder and harder at getting it accomplished. It just doesn't happen easily. But with God's help, God will help us do this, and sometimes it's going to take discipline on our part to do this. But I tell you, if you learn to listen, you'll be a good friend. You'll be a good coworker, a good boss, a good spouse, if you can just learn to listen. And another idea that came out of that chapter is sometimes we have to listen long enough to hear the need. When we're listening to people, it's not always the words that you hear. It's sometimes how they say it. It's the body language. It's even what's not being said. All of that goes into learning to listen to people. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 4 deals with the interpersonal. The first 3 deal with, hey, you got to get control of yourself. You got to learn to develop these habits that help you develop these, have these private victories before you can have public ones. But then 4, 5, and 6 deal with interpersonal relationships. And number 4 is this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. The problem that many of us have is we want people to understand where we're coming from, our viewpoint, our vantage point, and we're not trying to understand where they're coming from. One speaks of selfishness, the other one of unselfishness. One speaks of patience, the other of impatience. It definitely is an art. In the New Testament, somewhere between 15 and 20 times, the phrase comes back, and Jesus saying most of them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There is true wisdom in what we have known in this fact here. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Here's part of your homework this week. We all look at ourselves in the mirror every day, check ourselves out, make sure everything's okay. One of the things you'll notice, and I want you to look at your ears. And I don't mean, oh, look at the curve of the ear and all that. I just want you to look and acknowledge, oh, I've got 2 ears. And then may this be your prayer, is that, Lord, may I listen at least twice as much as I talk today. May it be a reminder when you see that you've got just 2 ears and 1 mouth that you will listen more than you speak. And I know that that is going to be difficult because it is so hard for us. So I begin to close with where I was at the beginning. James says this: know this. Pay attention to this. Understand this. Listen up. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. But I'm going to do something a little bit different. Normally, at the end of our services, we'll ask you, and if you would like some prayer, one of our elders or elders and wives will come up and they'll be here to pray with you. And yes, we will have that. At the end of the service, there will be people to do that. This one's going to be a little different, though. Because in a minute, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take some guts and some courage. We're not meant to come here and just hear somebody give a speech. And we're in the process of becoming perfected Christians. God is in the process of conforming us to the image of Jesus. In the book of James, chapter 5, another sermon that will come down the road, James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. Some of you here, as I said earlier, this is probably stepped on some toes. And one of these 3 areas, and I'm guessing it's hit, one of those 3 has hit some of us somewhere. And some of us, it hits us in all 3 arenas. Maybe you're somebody that, you know what, I don't listen very well. I really am not really paying attention to the other person because I'm absorbed in myself. Maybe you're one of those, you're quick to jump with your words. Your mouth runs way ahead of your mind. Or maybe anger is the issue with you. You'd like to be slow to anger, but you get there way too quickly. Yeah. I pray that you do something about it. You know, the last 2 weeks we had a video about our Stephen ministry. People who are willing to walk beside another as they're just wrestling with things that they're going on in their world, in their lives. Maybe this is one of those areas for some of you. Maybe you need somebody who will come alongside of you and just help you in either one of those. And guess what? They've been trained to listen. They've been trained to listen to somebody and walk with them through those. Maybe that's one way in which you deal with it. Yeah. Maybe you find a trusted friend and bring it out. Maybe you need a counselor. I don't know where you are. But if any of these three things, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to stand if you want me to pray for you. And as I said, this takes courage. It takes guts to say, yeah, I really do wrestle with this, and I need to do something about it. It took me long enough staring at a doll with no eyes and that I finally said, okay, Lenny, you got to get a handle on this. Yeah. For you, it might be that you see the hole in the wall. You might see the dent in the car, or you might see it on the face of one of your loved ones. It says, you know what? It's now time to do something about it. So in about 15 seconds, I'm going to pray. I'm asking you now, if you want me to pray for you and for one of these areas, and you don't have to get up and you don't have to confess anything out loud or anything, but by your standing, you're just saying, okay, it's time I got to do something about one of these things. And then I will pray for you. So if you want me to pray for you, then stand. Lord, you know, this is one that is so close to home. The wisdom from your scriptures. I mean, we talked about two verses, and this one verse, there's so much packed in it because many of us are so quick with our anger. We are so quick to speak up and speak out without even thinking through. And Lord, we don't listen. We don't listen to you. We don't listen to our spouse or our kids or our parents, our boss. We just don't listen. Lord, I thank you for the courage that it takes. And I pray for these specifically. The ones who need to learn to listen. May you open their ears. May you remind them this week when they look in the mirror, hey, I've got two ears. May I use them. And Lord, those who run ahead of their minds, and just ready to say something too quickly, will you help them count to 10, to 20, to 100 as they process through? And maybe ask, hey, do I need to say this at all? And Lord, I know anger can get the best of us because we don't know how to handle it sometimes. And we don't deal with things appropriately. And instead of being kind, we say unkind things. And we do unkind things. And we hold revenge instead of give forgiveness. So Lord, I pray for them. And whatever the area in which they are as they stand, will you help them take the initiative to do something about it? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. You maybe have a seat. You know, we talk a lot about here at Washington Avenue about people being real, real people, needing real grace. And one of the steps that you've done just in standing up for those of you who stood, real people, we recognize, yeah, we got our faults. We got the things that we got to deal with. And at Washington Avenue, we want to be people who are real, but don't just want to stay where we are. We want to be more like Jesus all the time. And so in his grace, he is looking to change us and to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Hey, if you're new here, out here, there is a table right around off to the right, and it's kind of our guest connection desk, and a little card that's behind in your pew. We'd love for you to fill something out there, give us some information. We'd love to meet you. We have something for you. And so right out here off to the right. I'm going to kind of go back to something else. The information desk is where you can find out most things. It's out just over there on the other side of the fellowship hall. I mentioned something about Stephen Ministers. If that is an arena and you go, yeah, maybe I need somebody to walk with me or through that, you can find more information out over there. They can kind of help you walk through some of those things. 2 weeks from today, if you were to come back here and sit in this pew, you will be quite lonely. Because we will not be here. We will be down at the Globe News Center downtown. And that is as we're celebrating our 75 years. Both services will all be together in one room. Kind of we were there several years ago. I don't remember what year it was, but several years ago celebrating Easter. We'll be doing that, celebrating 75 years. What God has done in the life of Washington Avenue and what he is doing and what he will continue to do for many more years to come. And so we will all be celebrating. It's at 10 o'clock that morning. Doors will open at 9:15. You can come. There'll be some donuts and things like that. Stay away from my chocolate one, though. I got a chocolate Long John with my name on it. There'll be a slideshow of pictures through all the years. We got a lot of pictures from yesteryear, but the last 30, we don't have as many. And so you can help us out by bringing some up, emailing them to us, or uploading them to the website. And so you can help us out that way. I told Billy I would mention this because also that day is the day where they're setting up for Vacation Bible School, and it is that week. It'll be a busy weekend in the following week. And I was in that back room, and I noticed a lot of holes that they still have of needing somebody to sign up for Vacation Bible School. So if you can help us do that, we would appreciate it. And so you can do that also at the information desk. Okay, we're going to close here. Stand up. I'm going to send you out with a charge with three things, and you already know what they are. First one is be quick to, be slow to, and slow to, see, you already got that memorized. You're really good at this. Going at, you know what? You have a blessed day, and remember when you look in the mirror, check those two ears out. Okay.